Wakiora, Bula, Maloelele, Talofa. Hi, y'all. And greetings from New Zealand and the South Pacific. We are your missionaries, Steve and Rita, and we've been as your missionary for many years now. And I serve as the team leader for Mission to the World in our part of the world. Now, often when people think of something like New Zealand, they think, oh, what a wonderful, beautiful place. How could anything bad go on? And why do we have missionaries there? It's just such a lovely place, sometimes nicknamed God's Zone. It's a beautiful country, no doubt. We have beautiful mountains and lakes and all those things that you have, Middle Earth, and things come to mind, such as Narnia. Yes, those things are kind of there. Some part of it computer-generated, for sure. But if you scratch below the surface, New Zealand is a needy country. Yes, it was founded as far as colonized by Christian missionaries many years ago in the 1800s. And yet today, it is a country in need. At one time, not long ago, New Zealand was categorized as the fourth largest mission-sending country per capita in the world. Today, almost half of our population believe absolutely nothing. I mean, have no faith in anything regarding, quote, religion, concerning whether it's Christianity, Buddhism, anything. It's a post-Christian country, and a country spiritually in need. And so we think, you know, in our own country, you know, we do know that, you know, in the 1990s, you know, 9 out of 10 people here in the United States, you know, confess to some belief in God, and many of them were Christians. We know that's in decline, sadly, and according to our research, but God's still on the move. In New Zealand, yes, we're having, again, over half of our population believing in nothing, and even those who do believe in the Christian faith are very, very small, probably less than 10%, and within our world, probably less than 1% being reformed or anything like that. So it's a nation of challenge.
It seems that the Christian faith is no longer relevant to many New Zealanders. Recently, a group of children, middle school children, came to our door selling Easter raffle tickets. And we asked them, "Do you understand what Easter means?" And two of the children replied, "Well, chocolate Easter eggs and getting presents." And we said, "Is that all? Is there not something else or more than that?" And one child replied, "Well, is it something about Jesus?" And we said, "Yes, what about Jesus?" And one child said, "Is it about his birth?" And we said, "No." Another child spoke up and said, "Well, is it about his death?" And we said, "Yes, it is about his death and his resurrection, and how he would soon be returning to heaven to be with his Father, and that Easter was about a new life in Jesus Christ that only he could bring." And that all this information seemed real, completely new to these children. And it just made us think that a lot of children in New Zealand have never heard the true gospel about Jesus. And they have little clue about Christian holidays such as Easter and Christmas, which we also celebrate there. And often people ask us, "Well, what brought you to New Zealand?" And we tell them, "Well, we've come to work alongside of an organization that seeks to bring New Zealand a clearer gospel or a clearer understanding of the Christian faith, especially by establishing local churches." While I was talking to one man who's in his 60s, he said, "Well, what do you and your, why are you here?" And I said, "Well, my husband and I are working alongside of a new church." And he said, "Well, why would you want to do that? Don't you know no one goes to church anymore?" Or then there's the girl in her mid-20s who, when I asked her if she'd ever attended church, she said no. And I said, "What about your parents?" She said no. "And we don't even care about church. We want nothing to do with religion." Such is the spiritual climate in New Zealand. It's increasingly post-Christian, and it's reflected very much in our political and spiritual climate, or social climate. However, on a promising note, there is still spiritual hunger in New Zealand. I think during the COVID time and when people returned to church after churches were able to meet again, many people came to a lot of our grace churches and they said, we just want to know the scriptures better. We really want to know the scriptures. And of course, there's also other spiritual hunger within the country, which is not the Christian faith. However, our grace churches have been growing, which is a real huge blessing. In 20 years ago, we had about 7 churches, and today there's 23 churches in 2023, and we're very grateful for the way they're growing, our grace churches.
And so, yes, there's a spiritual hunger in New Zealand, but there's also the challenge of indifference, of seeing there's no relevance for something like the Christian faith or certainly church. We also work in the Pacific Islands. People say, well, it must be beautiful there. You know, you've got tropical beaches. You just go hang out. There couldn't be any need there. You know, the missionaries came in the 1800s again, and they evangelized the islands there in the Pacific. Yes, that happened. However, what you have in the islands is you have what we call a cultural Christianity. A lot of churches, people go to church. That's what you're supposed to do every Sunday and all of that. But if you scratch the surface again, it's something very different. In the 1800s, you'd sometimes have missionaries go in and maybe the chief is converted. Then the chief turns around and says, we're all Christian now. As you know, that's not how it really works. And what you have is, again, a lot of churches, a lot of people. But when you ask them, as you go, again, scratch that surface, what does it really mean to be a Christian? How does it affect your daily life and decision making? Why did Jesus really come into the world? A lot of them would look at you and stare at you and say, I'm not really sure. And what's even worse is some of the leaders, pastors, are not well trained. And so they can't help foster the sense of formation of their people and discipling and shepherding of their folks. So it is different from what you see in the movies and often in the media. Now, again, some good news. Back in 2018, I had been going into the islands for a number of years doing different kinds of ministries. And in 2018, 4 denominations decided to come together and talk about this. Now, it's hard enough to get one denomination to do anything, you know, but to get 4 denominations to agree upon something is quite a miracle in itself. And so what happened is we had 4 denominations come together, 2 in Australia, of course, in New Zealand, and also here, come together and say, let's do something about this. And so in 2018, we had formed what is called now the Island to Island Gospel Fellowship. These denominations came in and said, well, what we can do to help? And of course, we went to the islands, visited. The big need, was discipleship, leadership training. And we came back and said, we need to get some partners together. We got partners together. And then we thought we'd go back in 2020 and have a forum, an international forum, bring everybody together and all of that. Well, things happened. One was called the measles. The other was called COVID. And so what happened with COVID, all transportation, everything was shut down. New Zealand was shut down for 2.5 years. And we couldn't leave the country, come back into it, in the islands, no travel. And so we had to kind of meet with people Zooming, you know, for a couple of years to kind of keep everybody posted and so forth. The good news is in March this past year, we were able to come together. We had people from 8 nations come together to meet in Fiji, and we began to see God move in a way where we came out of that forum with 5 areas of need that need to be worked on and something to pray about. First of all, certainly church planting and evangelism was on the list. Theological education was also on the list. Working on campus ministries was also on the list. Working with children and youth on the list, and also helping women on the list. So those are areas that we're now exploring of how the island partners can come together and address those needs. And so pray for us as we provide the resources. We're not going in telling them what to do. That's not how to do that. We find out what they think needs to be done, and we say, how can we help? So pray for us as we begin to move in this new, launching this new area. And right now in our own denomination, it's become a new push, a new exciting adventure that we hope that God will bless and use. Now, we will now sit down because I'll stop preaching and let Mike do that. And We do want to say thank you again for all the investments you've made with us in every way prayer throughout the years. My wife does want to introduce our children who are here. We have a family from New Zealand that's come in. And
I just also wanted to say thank you so much to all of you. I want you to all hear this. We receive a Christmas card from not only one of you or from the church, but several of you, it seems like every Christmas. And we receive some letters too from children. And I've already met a few of them and thanked them. But anyways, God bless you guys. You seem to be doing some good things. I think you're probably reaching out into your own community, and that is very important right here in this area, but also out to the uttermost parts of the world. So thank you. We are getting those Christmas cards and letters way down there in New Zealand. Thank you so much. We do appreciate your prayers for New Zealand, the churches there, the Christians there, that people will be responsive to the gospel, and of course the islands, just as Steve had already said. Yes, by God's grace, we managed to get our two children over here, plus our third child, which is our son-in-law, new son-in-law. He's actually a New Zealander. And April, our oldest daughter, our oldest child.
I see her in the back. April, stand up.
With a baby, our granddaughter, and she's got one on the way.
Now there's our son-in-law, our daughter Jane.
Mark.
And then right here, our son Stefan.
Anyways, and then Stefan, our youngest. Hey, it's great to be with you guys. We love you dearly, and we pray for you too. Thank you so much. God bless you.